The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 65 of Gotham Undercover. I'm Karen the Scarlet Cougar.
And it's great to have you back. I'm Jeff X-Force 11.
Yay! So we're back again, as he said, part of the Golden Spiral Media Network. Find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or the show's Facebook page by searching for Gotham Undercover.
That's
right. What
show
are we talking about tonight, Jeff?
We're talking about Pretty Hate Machine, and it's wild because I kept wanting to call it Pretty Little Hate Machine, right? But it was Pretty Hate Machine.
Yeah.
And it was directed by Steven Lillian and Brian Winbrandt, who've done 4 episodes of Gotham this season, and they've done work together on Hawaii Five-0 and Alcatraz. And the director is the show EP, Danny Cannon.
Creator, showrunner, EP, Danny Cannon.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, and this is kind of the penultimate episode. Kind of?
Yeah, I said that in the blog post for, you know, when they were filming. I don't know that they necessarily knew that this was be the last episode before the finale night,
right.
But it really felt like a penultimate episode.
Right. They're airing the last 2 episodes on the same night.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to call that the finale.
Yeah.
Because they're both on the same night. They're kind of treating that as one episode, but from what I can see, it looks like 2 separate episodes.
That's how it really does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the penultimate night.
Yeah.
We'll call it that. Season 2, episode 20. We still have 2 hours of Gotham to go.
Woohoo!
And it looks like it's going to be a crazy 2 hours based on how this episode ended.
Uh-huh.
We had a lot of moving pieces in this episode, a lot. And it's crazy when a compelling story is, you know, it's interesting in this episode, but it still takes a backseat to other storylines. We'll get into that as we talk about it, but... what is your rating? We are dead on together this week. How much we liked it.
I gave it 9 Lee's rating, Morticia Adams Closet.
Right. She also stole a bunch of eyeliner for Morticia as well. A bunch of eyeliner. I gave it 9 really obvious piles of dirt because they couldn't find that pile of dirt. And I mean, really, it's a huge pile of newly turned dirt. Okay, I get it. It's a mile, so that's a lot of ground to cover, a square mile, but still.
Yeah.
But it did give us that twist of he has to take the virus, so I'll give them
a pass.
It was a crazy, crazy time this week. let me give you the story titles, and then we'll decide where to start.
Okay.
Our A story is He Who Hesitates is Pissed. And that would be Bruce, who he is dogged in his determination to fulfill his destiny. However, he still can't really go through with it. He hesitates both times.
Yeah.
B story, Baldilocks watches as Lee Vira monologues, then James smash. And the C story is Dissension Amongst the Ranks and Grand Fishtrance. And then my bonus story, because we have to talk about it, is Deputy Butler. Because, man, he ate up some scenery. He crunched it real good in this episode. And his performance, wow.
Yeah.
Such heart.
Mm-hmm.
Put into this, and I really, genre shows get the short shrift, but that was Emmy worthy of him, just his heart being wrenched out because of
Bruce being torn away
from him. And even right at the last minute when Bruce starts pummeling him for killing his mentor, quote unquote, his mentor, the shaman, it broke my heart through the whole thing. And him just his obsession throughout the episode with finding out where Bruce is.
Yeah.
And not just finding Bruce. I mean, I want to find my boy was, you know, a big part of it. But he also wants to make sure that the city is safe.
Yeah. And I love that, because you can get caught up in things. And for him to want to save Bruce so badly, but to realize that there's a bigger game going on and that Bruce is just one part, and he can't be so narrow-minded or narrow-visioned to just overlook other stuff. You know, I like how he was giving information and giving out clues and looking into things and helping the investigation all the while looking for Bruce. And I appreciate that, because it kind of speaks to his team background with being in special forces and working with a group. You may be tasked with one specific task on a mission, but it's about the big picture. And so even while you have this heart-wrenching wanting to find Bruce and looking for him and getting the answers out of Hugo, you still have him seeing the bigger picture so that it doesn't get lost. And that just really speaks to Alfred's character, and just the way Pertwee plays him is just really, really good. And I really enjoyed the performance.
Yeah. I love he and Harvey together.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, Sean Pertwee and Donald Logue together are, I think, magic on this show. When they do get to play together, I understand they're in different worlds on this show. You know, one of them is definitely on the Batman side and the other one is on the James Gordon side. And they they do bump heads.
Yeah.
But when they do, it is really a great occurrence, because they work as a team out of necessity.
Right.
And they have a respect for each other, and it's a deep respect for each other. It's not a grudging respect for each other.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It is, you know, Harvey recognizes his value.
Yeah.
And that he can play outside that box.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, I might have to give you a badge someday, but he doesn't really mean it.
No, and I love it, because we get a mirror of what's going to happen in the future with Jim and Batman, really, in recognizing that, you know, law enforcement can do this much, but you need somebody that works outside those lines. And so it's kind of fun seeing that relationship played out with two different people. Yep. So it was cool.
Exactly. And, you know, James sees that here. Mm-hmm. So it does put that little bug in his ear that says, hey, you know, sometimes we do have to color outside the lines. And of course, Alfred has that connection to Bruce.
Yeah.
So there's that. And James already has a connection to Bruce. And, you know, Alfred is a big part of Batman later on. And James does work with Alfred, even though he either pretends to not know that, that Batman is Bruce Wayne, or he doesn't know that Batman is Bruce Wayne. So there's a lot of connection there. And I do love the tie between the two and how they really worked together as a seamless team in this episode was. Giving and taking the information back and forth while Harvey was out looking for James. Making sure he got the information in a timely manner. Hey, it's going to go off at 5 here at this point. And then James having the walkie-talkie and saying, oh, it's going to go off in the clock tower, putting that clue back together from the last episode. And just, you know, Harvey saying, okay, I'm sorry, we can't find you. And James saying, yeah, you can't find me. Go. The greater good is what you need to do. And James then, of course, coming to the realization that they can't get there in time. So again, the greater good, let's hope that they can find a cure.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm going to bite the bullet and give myself the injection. Oh, man. And what did it do to him? We don't know.
Yeah, we don't.
But that seems to be a common factor.
Right. But it's interesting because Lee brings up that what it brought out in her was love, and love bordering on an obsession with Jim, but not just a love for him, but she recognizes maybe that she likes the bad boy aspects of him, but wants to see him set free and realizes that she can't set him free. He's got to choose that. So you kind of see the love and the desire there as her obsession walked out, when you see her eyes and her face go all crunchy.
Right.
When she's talking about that, and then it goes, fades back. And with Barnes, it was all about justice. And so when he was on his justice kick and judgment kick, you would see that happen to his face. But we just don't know the key is going to be for Jim of what his obsession is going to be.
Just a good guy. So what, I mean, I can't think what would amplify in him. Would it be his sense of good that would amplify in him? Because I wouldn't think it would be justice like Barnes. He's not that much into the clean cut, I gotta kill everyone who's bad.
Yeah.
He walks the gray line. I have a hard time coming up with what would be his obsession. Is he the one who would be able to keep that in check, to use it to try and do things the right way?
Yeah, it's interesting because we just got so little. I mean, he comes in and he bats the officer out of the way in the station.
Right.
And then he, you know, gets rid of the Talon that's guarding the bomb. And then it's all about, you know, trying to get the bomb and get that. But we just don't know enough yet.
Right.
Because
he just seems to be just focusing on getting the bomb out of the way. And I don't think he had any malice against that policeman. He didn't care about the Talon at all.
Well, and I think it's more of he doesn't know how to manage his own strength yet. I mean, obviously he broke his way and dug his way out, but he maybe in his normal mind, he was just pushing the guy gently out of the way, but he's so amped that it's just so much more than that. So
get out of my way. Yeah.
That's the exciting thing, to actually get to see that walked out in the next couple of episodes, of seeing what that looked like for him. But as much as we talked about last week of kind of not getting what they're trying to do with Lee, or just being upset with that, I kind of see where they're going now that we've seen her on the virus.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe what they're leading up to and how it's working out for the plot. Not to say that I necessarily like that. But it did give a lot of insight, because of her being on the virus, of really talking things through that she might not have shared with Jim earlier, you know,
right.
Of just talking about wondering about why she was with him and what's going on there and why she was attracted to somebody like that. And it just gave a lot more insight into who she is as a character. Obviously, we know this is an amped up version of that, but it gives you more insight to her character. I still won't say that I'm exactly pleased with that, but I have a little more tolerance for it after they're seeing what they're doing. And I know we can see from some of the images coming up that we're going to get more with her. So we'll see how that brings about, because what I didn't voice last week, but I was thinking in my mind is this a way to get her off the show or get her away from the show for extended amount of time where she's going someplace to recover or, you know, is killed off or, you know, Jim has to make the hard choice or whatever. But I just don't see them doing that now. But, you know, we'll see.
Right. Yeah. I do also kind of get it. As are you. I'm in the same boat. I feel very unsettled by this, Lee, but I trust these writers enough to say, you know what? Okay. I kind of understand why you did it. It's better than the Lee we've gotten over the last few episodes. This totally kind of evilly stalkery Lee.
Well, and I think that's because it feels like they're actually writing for her.
Right.
Instead of
shoving her in.
Okay, we need some plot device movement. We need to have her share some data, you know, so that people know. Let's use her as that mouthpiece where they're actually writing for her. And that's why I think it's a little bit better.
Exactly. And also there's some meat behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is always welcome when they write a character with a little. So at least there's something happening there, which is better. I am very uncomfortable with the turn that she has taken, though.
Yeah.
So I don't know where they're headed. I trust the writers of Gotham more than I trust other shows.
Yes.
Flash.
Okay.
I don't know where that's going at all, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I liked her in this episode more than I have with the wishy-washy, I hate you,
right,
sort of Lee. When she took that blood in the last episode, I was gaspy. Like, what is happening here? Things are wobbly-cobbly. What is going on? I mean, I was aghast. I had no idea where they were going with it. But then when she showed up at the station and started her monologuing, it got at least interesting.
Yeah. And the interesting thing at first, when you see the site where Jim is buried, I'm like, did she take him out to where Mario was killed? I mean, it looked like,
right? Didn't it kind of look like that?
But then I was like, I'm going to have to get really plot device-y with a walkie-talkie that has that much range.
Right.
But then we find out, okay, no, it's closer.
It
and
looks
it's
like that, though, right?
Right. She just had a lot of fun playing the character, especially in the GCPD with Harvey.
Right. And then she steals the keys from that poor policeman. And, and I do like her interplay with Hugo as well.
Goodness. Hugo just backed up. Yeah. He's like,
She looks at him. He looks at her. He looks at her and kind of gives her a look like, hi, how's it going? And she does the crinkly face thing. And he's like, okay, I'm just going to go over here. It was quite funny for just a little tiny scene.
Right.
But also interesting. And I loved when they would cut to Hugo for a little reaction scene with whatever was happening in there. They didn't have to do that, but it was definitely effective. So you got kind of a, hey, he's us watching the scene. You know, it was
we were
Hugo watching the scene. It was our reaction to whatever was going on. And then, of course, it made it easy for Alfred to take him up on the roof and dangle him over the edge. You know, apologize. It reminded me of A Fish Called Wanda. Apologize. But yeah, I love Alfred's form of justice. That was great. Mm. And then he said, My word is as good as my bond. You can leave as soon as you wake up, and you go with.
He's like, what?
What does that mean? And then he knocks him out. So great. Alfred is so great.
Because he knows he's going to be needed. I mean, right. He knows the virus and all the stuff going on. Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm assuming he let someone know and the police came up. And
I bet so. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is great. Again. So, you know, his word is his bond. He could go if he got up in time to leave. That's Alfred is Alfred. Mm. Now, should we go to He Who Hesitates is Pissed?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, Bruce. First of all, I cannot believe, as you guys said like 3 or 4 times last week, the show's on at 8 p.m., right?
Uh-huh, and being on next year at 8 p.m. too.
Yeah, okay. People need, I can't believe there hasn't been an outcry. I'm glad there hasn't been. First of all, I'm glad because it means I can watch the show. They haven't taken it off the air. I think maybe it's because it's a comic related show and people kind of let it slide, maybe.
It could be.
But man, this episode, last week was pretty bad, but you guys were saying stuff about last week's episode. And now this week was just savage.
Right. I kind of think it's like this with Fox. I don't know about all of the affiliates, but most of the affiliates, the news is on at 10.
Right.
So
they
for
only have.
So for Fox, their 11 o'clock shows are 9 o'clock, our 10 o'clock shows are 9 o'clock, and their 9 o'clock shows are 8. But
have 8 to 10. Yeah.
Right. But this week with the owls all getting put down.
Right.
The court, right. The security council, I should say, right. Getting put down.
Yeah. They did this.
The following program contains coarse language and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised.
They really should have put that at the beginning of this episode because, wow, Bruce and the shaman came in. The shaman had a chat with him and said, you know, I'm not on the side of the court. We're going to take over Gotham. He laid it all out for Bruce.
Right.
And Bruce and he walked in and they said, well, you know, we know that you had a hand in killing Bruce's father. Bruce is now in charge. That's what the shaman made sure to let him know. Bruce is the big guns now. And they said, well, you know, his father was going against the court. And Bruce, of course, had the ace up his sleeve. Well, what about my mother?
Yeah. And that was so telling.
Yeah.
And
no
and
defense
then,
for that, right?
Right. And you get the whole, well, shaman, you're in charge, but you're gone so much. We had to make a decision and we stand by it.
Right.
Okay, too bad.
Guess what then? If you stand by it, that's the wrong choice. And
yeah,
off with your heads. So no more Court of Owls.
Yeah, well, the major ones.
Yeah. So it's going to have to get rebuilt. And we know it's going to get rebuilt because that's a major story in Gotham City.
Right.
And those people sitting at that table have progeny. They have sons.
Oh, yeah.
So they will be recruited most likely to serve with Bruce if Bruce decides to step up. And I'm guessing some of those kids have already been talked to about the Court of Owls anyway, or their significant others or whatever.
Right,
and
right.
And there are members that probably weren't there at the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get another Court of Owls and we may not see them on the show again. This may have been our, you know, hey, that's the end of our vision of the Court of Owls. But because Bruce has been redirected now.
Yes, indeed. He hesitates. The shaman acts.
Yep.
And we see this scene later where he's upset. Mm-hmm. He says, justice has been done, but I didn't act. I'm, you know, ashamed of myself. I'm not happy that I hesitated. And Shaman's like, well, you won't next time.
Right. Except, you know what? He kind of does.
Yeah. Yeah. But I really enjoyed that scene where Hugo comes in and Hugo immediately sees the difference in Bruce. And, you know, where he says, I bow to the sensei.
Right.
He wants to know, you know, he's very curious about how the
techniques?
Shaman. Yeah.
Yeah. He wants to know all that. Well, unfortunately, those techniques are probably lost to the ages because Mr. Shaman is gone in this.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
He wasn't being trained in the League of Assassins manner, as we mentioned.
Right.
So I don't know where that training came from with the needle of the brain sort of thing.
Yeah.
There may still be a faction out there that does that. I don't know. But when he does go to see the demon's head, as he has been redirected to, we'll find that out. That will come in the next episode, actually. We will get our good friend Ra's al Ghul in the next episode.
That's right.
But anyway, we find out that Bruce and the shaman have gone to Wayne Enterprises. And I don't know why they didn't figure that out without Strange telling them. However, I'm willing to give them a pass.
Yeah, I believe that, you know, there's so much going on and you have, you know, opportunities for it to be here, there, everywhere. They don't know the exact timing. But the set there, you know, is unoccupied floor there at the top of the building. And I'm just kind of taken back. I'm reminded of Bruce's penthouse in Dark Knight, you know, just that kind of views there. And Bruce is given the basically the remote to detonate.
Right.
And
a view early of the whole city.
Right. And earlier he steps in front of the shaman and protects him when Alfred wants to shoot.
Yeah, and shakes the core. Alfred.
Right. And here we have Alfred running in and begging and pleading, saying, we can break this whatever hold they've got over you, but if you push that button, there's no going back. And just the desperation there, and the hesitation with Bruce, and the shaman steps in and pushes the button.
Mm. So there is a way back, is what they're telling us, I'm guessing.
Right. There's emotionally, he can open up that safe and take out those pearls and those cufflinks. Mm-hmm. It's not like they were incinerated. They're still present and can be gotten to. There's just whoever has to find a way to reach back in there and help Bruce recapture those things.
It's not going to be easy.
No, no.
Especially now seeing Alfred has killed his new mentor. That's going to leave a scar, definitely, and a bit of a wall between he and Alfred. Even after some cleansing has happened, I'm sure there's going to be some resentment, even if it's a false resentment.
Mm-hmm.
It'll still be there, but
And disappointment too. Yeah. I think he's going to be disappointed at what he did and how he reacted towards Alfred.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the only saving grace is that he was holding that detonator, but the shaman was the one that reached over and pressed it.
Right.
And that means that Bruce isn't absolved completely, but he can at least say that the man that manipulated him was the one that pressed the button.
Mm-hmm.
So, not blameless, but, you know, okay, I technically didn't do it. So there's that. I can come back from this. I can help to clean things up. And that's, I think that could be part of his motivation in cleaning up the city later on. I mean, this just builds his character a little bit more. Hey, Gotham is part of what we make it. So we all have to band together and save it.
Yeah. And it's going to be really interesting with Ra's al Ghul to see if he is the one that, you know, helps Bruce get those things back, where, you know, the shaman was using those things as a tool to get control, to do whatever, and whether Ra's was happy about that or disapproved of that. It's going to be kind of interesting. It'd be interesting to say, he shouldn't have used those methods or he should have done something different. But it'll be interesting to see if he's maybe one of the ones who helps Bruce open those doors back up. But we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was... The acting between David Mazouz and Sean Pertwee this week, just, it really blew me away, the two of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The anguish and the, on David Mazouz's part, the blankness turning to just rage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Was so good and mm-hmm. so mature. And he is so tall.
Yeah.
He is the same height now as all the people around him. Now, do you think they're going to take him to jail?
Yeah, I don't know. Because I don't know if, I couldn't tell if that was GCPD or Wayne Security, but I'm probably guessing it was GCPD. But they're going to have to hold him somewhere until they can, you know, help break that, because... Mm-hmm. You know, they've just got to contain him somewhere.
Right.
And, you know, whether he gets broken out or gets, you know, taken along the way, I just don't know. But, yeah, they're going to have to do something to contain him, because he's not at a point where he can just go back to Wayne Manor with Gotham.
Well,
no.
He wouldn't go back to Wayne Manor. But no. Uh-uh. I don't think they're going to just let him go free after the debacle.
Uh-uh. Right. Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, where does he go from here?
Yeah.
What's his place in the world? I think, well, the next logical place is to, of course, Ra's al Ghul. But right now, it's, you know, he has to be questioned. He has to be somewhere for information.
Right,
and
right.
Now, I keep wondering, now that the bomb has gone off, they are going to try and find an antidote, but how was it tampered with? Did Strange do something to it so that it's not as effective? You know, I'm going through scenarios in my head since it did actually go off.
Right. And it was, I mean, for being inside of a building, I mean, it went out very forcefully, because you have that scene, just that telling scene of Alfred just looking out the windows and that red plume just coming up.
Like
and
a mushroom cloud.
Right. And you just wonder, you know, if Hugo did some tinkering so that he might have some control, or I just don't know. But right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting
to
see.
I find myself hoping that he diluted it a little bit.
Yeah.
That's all. That, you know, maybe he already has a way out.
Right.
Maybe he already has an antidote and he's going to himself for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm just crossing my fingers that there's something that he did to it.
Right. And that's the thing that I brought up last week, too, with Lee taking not the concentrated blood, but the new virus, which is made to be spread more easily, that, you know, maybe it may be a little easier to find a cure for that than it would with Barnes, who was a direct blood infection.
Right.
And so, she says she's not a virologist, so we'll see.
Right, Right. And I wouldn't put it past Hugo to maybe, you know, already have something in his back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is the one that came up with the aerated virus to say, hey,
right.
You know, mm-hmm. you want to give him a cure? I have one. So, yeah. You know, just let me go and you can have it. So, I mean, I really wouldn't put it past him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's the case at least. So, yeah, let's hope, because I don't really want half the city to be contaminated. Right.
No.
Yeah. That would be terrible. Okay. And then the other storyline, which is incredibly interesting as well, but it kind of got buried in the rest of the episode, is Oswald and Ed. Ed and Oswald coming up against each other again, searching each other out in the city because their pact wore off.
Mm-hmm.
And Ed going full on Riddler with the green suit and the bowler hat.
Yes.
And really full on Riddler because of what happens when he does come across Oswald. Oswald, all of his people have deserted him except for Ivy. Because he wasn't quick enough to get back. They just have the shortest attention span ever, apparently. So Ivy is there, and they're all scattered. Selena gets picked up by Tabitha and Butch and Ed and Babs. And she says she'll take them to Oswald as long as they save Ivy. And Babs gets super catty and says that she's not going to give the plan out as long as Butch and Tabs are around.
Yeah.
Because Tabs backstabbed her.
Mm-hmm.
And Tabs isn't happy about that. She says, how long are we going to have to put up with that? And wow.
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting. Oswald is desperate to find Mr. Freeze and Firefly. So he's like, you can find him, Selena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Selena just wants Ivy free. Really,
right.
That's her main
motivation. Yeah. And I've got to ask you a question. Oswald's safe house.
Yeah.
I like that he had, you know, he had a plan. He was able to get out through the secret door. But to me, that looked exactly like Jim's apartment just redressed. Yes. I'm just like, because of the door, yeah. You know, obviously
and
it's
Selena's
the same
place that she was squatting at rearranged, and
yeah.
Valerie Vale's apartment moved around. Yeah, it does kind of all look like the same thing. However, I do have to say, at least it's different than the warehouse in every episode of Arrow and The Flash.
Yeah.
Because that's all the same, except for pieces of plastic waving in the
right.
Trees.
But yeah.
It looks like the same apartment, just moved around.
But, yeah, but I like I said, I did enjoy this. We've seen Barbara this season and see her wanting to know more and rule, you know, wanting to rule, and she is so intrigued when Ed starts to tell her about, you know, tell him about the Court of Owls. And, well, I only dealt with one lady named Catherine with a severe hairdo.
Right. Oh, that was so great. Right?
But you don't have to worry about them. They're not concerned with the underworld. And I'm like, well, you kind just don't know. Yeah, yeah, you just don't know it.
Except
but
you know what? You don't have to worry about them anymore.
But the biggest threat is Oswald, and they're like, well, not to us, and you know, and I enjoy the fact that, like, well, he knows that y'all helped, and so it's just one in the same. Right. So they're kind of drugged back in that yeah. way. So.
And then he says, well, he's got these freaks working for him, and it goes back and forth between, hey, he's got freaks, he doesn't have freaks, he has people backing him up. He doesn't have people backing him up. Selena can help. Well, she might double cross us. Tabitha might double cross us. Butch might double cross us. You know, it's just a kind of a balancing act here in this episode. And what I liked about it is once they all got together in that greenhouse,
mm-hmm.
and they're, you know, here's one faction on one side and one faction on the other, and Babs is on one side and Tabs is on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And they face off, and it's not I'll kill you right now. It's Call Me the Riddler. Which is ludicrous, right?
And Babs is like, do I get any say in this?
Right.
I
mean, and Tabs's reply is, how does it feel? Which is great because, of course, she has been relegated to that position all this season of taking a backseat to every decision. And Barbara is being given a backseat.
Yeah, and it's the thing I question, and I'll ask your opinion about this. When Fish showed up, I kind of felt like that maybe she had communicated with Butch and Butch gave her the scoop. And that's how she knew where to find everybody.
He was the only one that seemed legitimately happy to see her.
Right. I mean, they have that relationship together. And, it was left open so that, you know, it could be a surprise. But to me, it just kind of felt like it would seem natural to find out that he kind of filled her in. But sure. I don't know. I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. I would be more surprised if she just showed up. If she had no idea where they were and, oh, there she is. She had to get information from somewhere. So it being from Butch, who smiled and greeted her and said hi, that makes sense to me. So yeah, that's great. And you notice she touched Oswald. Mm-hmm. So Oswald is going to follow her now, which is great. But of course, right in the nick of time to undercut everybody and ruin all the plans that everybody has. Barb is not happy.
No.
Because she is not the top dog, Ed, anymore. Of course, Ed isn't. I love how Fish cuts him down, whoever you are. You know, she doesn't care who he is. He's not a player as far as she's concerned. She likes Oswald. That's it. And whoever all you other people are, you know, go about your business. I have what I want. I have the man who thought he killed me. And we're going to go off and have a discussion. You guys go about your business. And of course, that just ruins all the business.
Happening. It's like, okay, so, everybody just back out with their guns drawn.
Right. So, I mean, are they going to scatter? Are they going to come together and go up against Fish? Because we do see in the previews that Fish has some henchmen in the next episode.
Because henchmen,
that's right. and they're familiar faces as well, but they were not at this meeting.
No, not at the meeting. But they will be there next week.
Right. And do these people that were at the meeting, do they band together because of the heavy hitters that are with Fish?
So
we'll see. Who knows? Oswald was really the impetus against the whole Ed thing. You know, none of the other people really have a huge grudge against Ed, right?
Right.
So, yeah, they were just on Oswald's side because there wasn't a big... So we'll see where that goes. And it was a compelling story to see what Selena was going to do, whether Ivy was going to get out, you know, what their head-to-head was going to be. And Fish showing up, I used to hate Fish. Everybody knows it. People were dancing around me on Twitter. Oh my God, are you going to go insane? And I said, you know what? She was great. I liked it. She jumped in. She made a great entrance. Her earrings were on point. I loved the way she looked and the way she talked. They really have done a great job with her, with turning her character around. So I have nothing to complain about with her in this episode. And she subverted all those plans because Ed couldn't just stick to the let's kill Oswald plan. He had to try and get him to call him the Riddler, which is just ridiculous. An incredibly funny plot point. I thought it was great. A funny in a kind of head-tilty funny sort of
thing. Yeah.
And she made a great entrance. So, yeah. Nothing against the F word in this episode for me. People literally tweeted me and said, the F word, it's the F word. And I said, what? What? Did they say the F word? No, fish. Oh, okay. Yeah, she was all right.
Yeah, like I said, if they use her properly and make it make sense for the story, not like season one where they're like, we've got to write, you know, we've got to, you know, she's the star, she's the most important person. But if they can find good balance and they can write her in a way that makes sense, I'll be okay with it. Right. So we'll see.
And it did in this case.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She overacted, but it's because that's how she is.
Yeah.
And she wasn't in it for very long, and she was fish for that amount of time, and that was it. She was gone, and her trademark things were there. I mean, just she knew she was the queen at that point and deflated everything else around her, which was and I think that's everything.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and we're left with this huge cliffhanger of what's gonna happen in the finale. I mean, it's not like everyone is about to die or anything, but I want to know what happens next.
Yeah, definitely. You know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. People are getting infected and what's going to happen with Oswald and Fish. And
well, and we have the whole, arc storyline, Heroes Rise. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we're still not seeing that yet. I mean, we're seeing heroes get dragged down and controlled and virused and all that kind of stuff. But we did get this talk from the shaman about how when Gotham was in ashes, a dark hero would arise. And I was like, okay, the dark hero arises.
Right.
So
people are actually positing that he might become Owlman instead of Batman. And that's a even darker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like a villain.
Yeah.
And, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm dismissing that completely personally.
Yeah. I just don't see that. And what is that? That was, what Earth was that with the, cause it was what?
It was the Charleston Earth, because that's the Watchmen comics, the Charleston.
Right.
Earth.
But wasn't it, and I'm zoning on this where you had, basically, the Justice League were the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Injustice,
it was
Injustice League.
Yeah. And, so everybody was
like a mirror of themselves.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, but I don't see them
do
that. But yeah.
Because the villains in the show are villains.
Yeah. And they're strong ones, too. Right. It's not like you said, okay, we're the deficit. Let's flip somebody. So.
Right. So I don't see that happening. I really don't. I think Bruce is going to come out of this and he's going to become Batman at some point. And I think that James is going to be the one person that fights the virus. I'm just calling that now.
Yeah, I think he'll fight it off until there's a cure.
Right.
I mean, I think that's where he's going to be. So
okay, good. So we're on the same mm-hmm. page. All right. So time for. Got the feedback. I'm sorry. I can't get caught up in that. We have feedback from Chris, and he says, mm-hmm. Hi, guys. I managed to not delete my notes this week, which is good, because as much as I was dreading someone showing up this week, she was far from my least favorite thing in this one. Same here, Chris. After a few weeks of wearing robes, it was kind of jarring at first to see the shaman in a suit and tie. Here is a lesson for Lee. Alfred's frustration and anger at Jim is completely understandable. Even Jim thought so. Your frustration and anger at Jim is stupid and petty. Quote, how stupid do you think we are? Unquote. Quote, do you really want me to answer that?
I love that quote by Ed. Yeah.
So great. Why would the cops staking out Lee's house run the sirens and lights to go back on patrol?
I was wondering the same thing. I'm like, why?
Yeah, why wouldn't they just drive off?
Yeah, really.
It doesn't matter because she probably knew they were out there.
Yeah, well, she said as much. Yeah. So.
The scene in Lee's house, is this weird enough for you folks?
What? And I gotta say that the scene where she, I mean, the part where she literally steps out of the shadows.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah, right? I heard her and I was like, where is she? And
yeah.
It's like she just materialized out of nowhere. It was very
and
weird.
And her hand on the neck, you know, almost with the claw-like nails. I was like, no. Ooh, yeah.
She must have spent a fortune on makeup.
Well, but you got to take into account Barnes, you know, when he got right. in, he had his black, you know, explosion all over around his eyes. Right. So, yeah, you know.
Maybe her nails grew like
that. Yeah, who knows?
The thing that really bugs me about Lee is that there is no logic behind her new powers. Oswald and Ed worked for 2 seasons to become the Penguin and Riddler. We saw Selina slowly grow up and become more and more street smart. It was well established that Bridget and Ivy were put upon for years before the events that turned them into what they are now. Same with Freeze trying to cure his wife. Though not on screen the whole time, it was established that Jerome was already crazy, so killing him and bringing him back would make him crazier. Even Barnes was well set up as a law and order guy before the virus, which made him into a twisted version of that. Lee got upset because Jim killed Mario, saving her life. She moped around for several episodes. Then she gets these powers that I still can't see how they relate to anything in her prior person. Lee has quickly become the Nikki and or Paulo of Gotham for me. Lost reference.
Wow. I wouldn't go that far, but wow.
Yeah. How long did they last? Two episodes?
Too long.
And then they were in graves.
Yeah.
She wasn't interesting being mopey, and she's not interesting now. Ouch, Chris.
Wow.
I think she's interesting now, but in that fascinating sort of train wreck sort of way for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If Jim were Uma Thurman, he'd be able to punch his way out of that coffin. Hey, Kill Bill reference.
Yeah.
After the scene on the rooftop was strange, are we sure that Alfred's real last name isn't Bauer? That's nice. And he actually talked kind of like the guy in Twitter. What's his first
Jack.
Name? Jack Bauer. Jack. Thank you. I was going to say Jim Bauer, but that's nice. Well, I guess the virus does turn Jim into Uma Thurman. Quote, I'll just sit at my desk with the key to the cell within easy reach of this dangerous criminal. This seems like a good plan, unquote, says one of Gotham's finest. Barney Fife was never this incompetent. I thought the same thing. Why did he have the keys so close to the bars?
Yeah.
Oh, goody. Look who's back. Why are you here? My sentiments exactly, Oswald. My sentiments exactly. I think what Butch meant to say was, the woman always could ruin an otherwise perfectly good scene.
Oh.
The shaman took an almost Emperor Palpatine aura at the end there. I can get behind allowing the virus to be released, being one of the things to drive Bruce as an adult. The adult Bruce Wayne that we know would totally see this as his mess that he has to clean up. Yep.
Mm.
Definitely, I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like how Alfred fended off Bruce's punches with his forearms in much the same way we will see Batman do soon enough.
Mm-hmm.
I made it to the end of this episode, and I'm pleased to report that Fish did not ruin the episode for me. She only ruined the scene she was in. Make no mistake, I thought she was as awful as ever, but at least the awfulness was contained to one scene. I'll give this episode 8 out of 10 slagging geezers to combine 2 of Alfred's awesome sayings this time. I love that he called Hugo a slag. That was awesome. That is a horrible name. English slang. A slag.
Yeah.
Well, after reading online, it looks like my Harley Quinn rant from last week sadly was not unfounded. The concept of Harley being created by anything other than the Joker driving her insane is wrong on every level, and it waters her down to have her be just another genetically modified freak. But if they must, please be Babs. I couldn't handle Lee or, God forbid, Fish as Harley Quinn. I don't think it's going to be Fish.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I could see Babs. I'm with Chris. I would rather have it be Babs than Lee, but yeah.
And where is Jerome, by the way? Is he out there on the streets?
He's somewhere out there.
See, now why couldn't he just be with someone out on the streets that is contaminated?
Yeah.
So let's do that. How's that? Thank you, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
So, and thank you, Chris.
Yeah, thanks.
So you get to read Justina's this week.
Yay. Okay, here we go. Holy moly, Batman. The Dark Knight Rises. This was crazy. And I don't even...
Winky tongue out face.
Tongue out. Yeah, the eye popped emoji. First, I hated the episode because Jim was buried alive, which is one of my deepest fears. So I almost had to shut it off. I'm so glad I powered through because this episode was amazing.
I'm going to interrupt you here for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Justina, same here. I have to get MRIs all the time. I have huge issues with it. I feel like I'm being buried in my own coffin when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's horrible. I agree with you 100%. That scene made me very widgy. Those scenes were
yeah.
I agree yeah. with you 100%. Okay, go back.
She says, 10 out of 10 impossible choices. I still love Harvey acting as the boss in the last few episodes. He's at his wit's ends with this mad city. What a mad city it will be with a virus on the loose. And they said the demon's head. That's Ra's al Ghul, right?
Yep,
it is. It is. And Ed in Oswald's face trying to get him to use the name Riddler. Awesome.
I thought so too. Stupid, but awesome.
Yeah.
Stupid in the way that Ed is too smart to be doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Says, I'm not happy to see the Lee is crazy now. Virus plus time with the Mad Hatter equals totally nuts. But the actress is doing a beautiful job of selling the insanity. Talk to you next time. Same Gotham time, same Gotham channel. Love, heart emoji, green butterfly, butterfly emoji, smiley face emoji.
Thank you, Justina.
Mm-hmm.
I love the butterfly. I wish there was a blue butterfly or a green butterfly.
Yeah, it's instead of green. Yeah. I mean, instead of blue, sorry.
It's just a monarch butterfly.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you would like to get feedback in, here's how you can do it.
To get your feedback in like these good folks, please get it to us by Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern. You can call us at 304-837-2278. Or you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can leave a text file, you can attach an audio file, you can use the provided SpeakPipe widget, or you can simply email us at feedback@goldenspiralmedia.com. Follow the show on Twitter at GothamGSM. And to subscribe or leave your 5-star reviews for this or any other Golden Spiral Media podcast, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. Now, here are your hosts, Karen and Jeff.
That's right. And we have some additions of how you can keep up with us. We are now on Instagram and Tumblr using the username GothamGSM. So, you know, same as our Twitter, we are on Instagram and Tumblr, and look out for some cool stuff being put out there soon.
That's right. We'll have like questions that you can answer and fun little, things that you can comment on. So please follow us there. We'll be putting up more stuff as we get along. There may be some stuff over the summer to keep you guys busy.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff that will hopefully entertain you.
Yeah, definitely. And we have a little bit of a update. We will be recording next week twice. So you have two feedback deadlines. So the feedback deadline for the 8 o'clock episode, Destiny Calling, is Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, and the feedback deadline for Heavy Dirty Soul is at Thursday at 6 p.m. So you get two podcasts from us, double podcast with a double episode.
That's right.
So we need double the feedback.
That's right.
So please give us your feedback.
It's Heavy Dirty Soul, all one word.
Yeah.
And please make sure to give us feedback separately if you can, because we'd love to split it up.
Yeah, exactly.
We have news for both of the last two episodes. Heroes Rise, Destiny Calling, and Heavy Dirty Soul. With the deadly virus spreading throughout the city, the search for the antidote continues as Fish Mooney, the Riddler, and Penguin reveal plans of their own. Bruce meets Ra's al Ghul, guest star Alexander Siddig, and he's from Deep Space Nine, for any of you who watch those types of things, and completes his last task in order to fulfill his destiny, but realizes he can't let go of his past. You know what? I'm happy about that.
Yeah, me too.
Meanwhile, Gordon tries to win back Lee, and past alliances within Gotham City are broken, while new alliances are formed in the all-new special two-hour Heroes Rise, Destiny Calling, and Heroes Rise, Heavy Dirty Soul. Season finale episode of Gotham airing Monday, June 5th, and that's at 8 o'clock p.m., and it takes up the whole 8 to 10 hour.
That's right.
And then we have some news. Thanks to Karina Lucas, who posted this on Facebook. It's everywhere, but Karina alerted us to it.
Yeah. So basically, Harley Quinn has been confirmed for the finale and season four. So it goes on to say, fan favorite Harley Quinn has been confirmed for the season three Gotham finale by star David Mazouz, according to Movie Pilot. He told the site, "She's going to be in the finale. Stay tuned." There has been speculation about the appearance of the character, especially after executive producer John Stevens spoke about it back in January. He said, "We might see her in episode 22, teasing the character that the character will be the launching point for the main plot of the show's fourth season." And yeah, that's interesting. The launching point for the main plot.
Now, that doesn't mean that we'll see the actual Harley Quinn.
Right.
We might see the Doctor version of her.
Yeah. I don't know. And it could be a mantle that's passed on, or a proto version too. So who knows?
I'm hoping that we see the actual, like, the psychiatrist.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I think that, if she's trying to help Bruce out, she gets infected. I just don't know how they're going to spin it, but I'd rather see it as a new character. But we just don't know yet. So
I'm willing to leave my mind open. They've been good to us so far.
Yeah.
But I would love to see the psychiatrist come on board and maybe try and help Bruce or Jerome.
Yeah.
Wherever he is. Maybe he's being tended to. He's working his issues out. Against his will, obviously.
Yeah.
But I can't wait. I really can't wait. I'm dreading it being over because the season has really been great, but I also really want to see where it goes. So it's that bittersweet part of the season where you just don't want it to end. But
yeah, definitely.
All right. So I can't wait. You can't wait. And we'll be back to talk to you all about it next week. Two full hours of us next week for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we really want to hear from you. So send
definitely
your feedback as soon as you can, and we'll be ready to hear from you. All right. So here's where I get all awkward and I don't know how to finish the show again. Have a great week, you guys.
See ya.